Aloha and good afternoon, everybody. My name is Norman Aaron Kahn. I am a professor of horticulture at the University of Hawaii at Hilo. I'm here to present two technologies that I was very excited to bring to Hawaii when I started this at Ohio State University. Vermiculture is one of them. Vermiculture, we started in 1997. We started using this product or technology in greenhouse plants. And then we started also using this very effectively in field crops, growing plants, suppressing a lot of diseases, nematodes. And we thought that if the mechanisms of these is fairly well known, maybe we can apply it to other growing techniques such as hydroponics. Hydroponics in Hawaii is getting very critical, and it's now getting a preference in growing crops because of our current scare with heart-lung worm disease, which is very debilitating. Because once somebody ingests the plant that has that nematode or worm, then it can actually, practically debilitate a human being. So we have a few cases of that, and so this is the reason why a lot of farmers selling, for instance, lettuce in the field or in the farmer's market, nobody will buy it anymore. And so if they know that the lettuce produced in a supermarket is hydroponically produced, then they might be able to buy it. So a little bit of background where we are. Okay, so yeah, okay, I got it. So a little bit of background where the study was conducted. We are the most remote mass in the world, Hawaii is, and we usually brag about we have the 10 of the world's 14 climatic zones, but that is, if we do have that, that means that we can practically grow anything, but because we don't have a lot of soil, that limits that claim of having the most climatic zones in the world. We do still import greater than 85% of food, and that was mentioned in a presentation yesterday by Amjad. And 97% of our energy. And this is the reason why this technique of hydroponics that I'm going to show you today is non-circulating. It doesn't need any pump, and it doesn't need any electricity. And so it is developed by one of our foremost scientists in hydroponics, Bernie Kratky. So we are still in a constant search of alternative sources of energy and agricultural inputs. So just to show you most of our resources in Hawaii, this potato field is located on the big island, very small space shared by, used to be growing sugar cane. All of our sugar cane plantations have already closed, the big ones in Hawaii. So now it has been converted to sweet potato. Some of the fields that are what we call in Puna district, A'a or Pahoehoe, a couple of hundred years old of lava flow, can now be grown with papaya. Some of our fully grown or fully withered lava flows have been converted to, are now growing a climax forest reserve. This photo is from Maui. And then the other one, just taken a few days ago from a hiking on Volcano National Park, is a couple of it's a lava flow from 1975. And most of these kinds of landscape could be found on the Big Island. So what is hydroponics? Just a little bit of a review. It is the use of nutrient solutions with continuous cropping enclosures, which improves production up to 95%. Again, I mentioned that this kind of technique in producing vegetables or crops is beginning to be very popular because of the scare of the disease. But the limitation of hydroponics is we still need 100% nutrient solutions that contains inorganic nutrients that are still fuel-based. And remember earlier I mentioned 97% of our energy is still imported, including the use of fertilizers. So using alternative sources of nutrients, such as organic-based vermicompost, could supplement a large portion of conventional fuel-based hydroponic solutions, and that's what we're hoping here. So a little bit of review what vermicomposts are. These are stabilized organic matter that are produced by the interactions of earthworms and microorganisms, not just earthworms. Okay? Some people would refer vermicompost as worm castings. We beg to disagree because, again, worm castings, I would believe it's 100% worm castings. If you tie a little container right at the posterior end of the earthworms and present it to me, that's 100% worm castings. But in a worm bin, there's an interaction of earthworms and microorganisms, and that product by both organisms, both earthworms and microorganisms, and sometimes insects, are generally what we call as vermicompost. So that's what we use. In this study, we use, so you can use any source of organic matter. In this study, we used organic matter that was a post-consumer refuse, food refuse, including paper and cups from our dining cafeteria at University of Hawaii at Hilo. Okay, we fed that with earthworms and was processed for about 80 days. So that's this is like if I have to demonstrate it in graphically what vermicomposts are, the interactions of different organisms and microorganisms and earthworms using processing organic waste, and you end up with practically soil in about 80 days, whereas a lava flow can be converted into a soil in about 400 years, and you grow a climax growth of different vegetation. This is something that you can actually recycle a lot of organic wastes, especially paper and animal manure, and practically grow something from it. So in most of our studies, the quality of vermicompost is commendable that physically it is very fine in structure, highly granulated, high surface area. You can grow practically a lot of microorganisms in vermicompost, very high water holding capacity, and the nutrient holding capacity is also rated excellent. Chemically, the pH is nearly neutral. It contains plant available nutrients. They also have, we just discovered that because of the intense microbial interactions with earthworms and microorganisms in the bin, in the system, some of them actually produce plant growth hormones. And these are actually the reasons and the mechanisms why vermicompost is highly rated as a growth amendment. It also has humic acids, as much as 400 milligrams per kilogram of vermicompost, depending on your raw material. Biologically, it has very high microbial populations. We measured active fungi in it and active bacteria, and the diversity is just in the orders of magnitude. So the results of vermicompost applications in all of our studies since 1997, we have accelerated germination of seeds. You will see in a bin that has been fed with vegetables, for example, you will see a lot of cucumber, tomato, or even weed seeds growing from your bin, and that is because it has a lot of hormones in them, and it's also mesophilic. You grow earthworms up to about 80 degrees Fahrenheit to as low as about 30 degrees Fahrenheit. I'm sorry, 40 degrees Fahrenheit. Increased growth of seedlings, early flowering of plants, increased yields of plants. So we have multiple research that shows all these effects. So, and again, the mechanisms involved is increased of soil microbial biomass in the soil where it is applied, or we also found plant growth regulators, including hormones and humic acids in vermicompost. So in this particular experiment, we used the liquid form of vermicompost. We added it into the hydroponic solution. There are many, many terms that a lot of our growers use to describe what they are. Some of them are called worm extract or aqueous extract, worm juice, leachates, and worm tea. So for simplicity, I will just refer this solution as vermicompost tea. So vermicompost tea, according to the National Organic Standards Board, is defined as a tea, a water extract of compost produced to transfer all the goodness of the solid form of vermicompost, including its microbial properties, its physical properties, and chemical properties. There are many ways of extracting that. Home brewer style is basically a 5-gallon bucket. You put the vermicompost in a nylon mesh, stir it a few times, and you have your tea. In some bigger consumers or producers, they would put it in a 500-gallon tank equipped with bubblers or pumps. In this experiment, because we use 90-gallon tank as our growing media for our lettuce and tomatoes, we added the vermicompost into the tank itself and then stir it into the tank, and the whole thing becomes a vermicompost tea. So we took the chemical properties of vermicompost before we added it into the nutrient solutions. EC is about 6.36. A pH of 6.5, and the humic acids extracted from it is about 485, which is actually higher than what we found in most vermicompost that we've done in the past. Nutrient contents of vermicompost, 1.3 total nitrogen, which is not really as high as some chicken manure compost out there, which could be about 2.5 or 3. Hormones that we've analyzed from our compost, it has a little bit of auxin, cytokinins, and an active gibberellic acid, a GA24 of 156. So this technique that was developed by Bernie Kratky is what we call the non-circulating hydroponics. This includes the preparation of two stock solutions. The first one is a commercial hydroponic fertilizer by Hydro Gardens, Colorado. And the other one is a soluble grade calcium nitrate. We prepare them in two separate tanks for obvious reasons that if you combine them, they have a tendency to solidify. Okay, so for each tank, we add about 3.7. For each 3.7 or a gallon of water, we add about 15 milliliter of each solution into the tank. So that's our two solutions here, and that's the setup. Initially watered, so we use net pots or suspended potting nets, and that's how we grow our lettuce. We did two experiments for lettuce. The first one is the first experiment, the aim is, can we increase the yield of lettuce by just adding vermicompost in it? So we added nothing. We added 1.6% of vermicompost, which is about 1 gallon per 60 gallon of the solution, and a 3.2%, which is about 2 gallons per 60 gallon of the nutrient solution. The other one is, can we actually use it as a substitute for the nutrient solution. So we did no nutrient solution. We also used a quarter of the nutrient solution recommendation, and we also used 50% of the nutrient solution recommendation, and we added 3 levels of vermicompost tea into the solution. What happened was, in experiment number one, when we add vermicompost into the solution, we didn't do anything. There was no significant difference between the harvest. So vermicompost didn't do anything If you add it to the normal recommendation rates of nutrient solutions for lettuce. So what we did is when we added as a substitute right here, we added vermicompost 1.6 and 3.2% into a 50% nutrient solutions. That was when we had the effects. When we did the tomatoes as an addition, we lost everything. Tomatoes behave differently. The water becomes anoxic, devoid of any oxygen, and all our tomatoes died. But when we added the vermicompost as a substitute, that's when we begin to see a lot of harvest. And very quickly, the data here, this is the control 100% nutrient solution. This is the number of fruits, a little bit below what we expect that we can get out of a 100% nutrient solution, but it's enough to cover what you lost in not supplying the nutrition in it. So right here, the marketable yield is very similar to 100% solution if you add very little amount of vermicompost tea into the solution. So take-home message is you cannot add vermicompost to 100% recommendation. Just you can't do anything more. But there is a possibility that you can actually reduce the amount of nutrient solutions by half and still get an equivalent yield to what you can harvest from a 100% nutrient solution from vermicompost. All right. So thank you. Oh,
did you make by yourself or did you buy it?
Yes, we made it ourselves. It was a leftover food from our cafeteria.
Okay, but every time you will make this vermicompost, and you need to buy it every time.
Yes. Yeah. So how do we? So every batch of food is different. So this is the reason why we recommend that each time before you conduct the experiment or before you add it on to perform an analysis, you have it analyzed first. Yeah, because there is a if you add too much vermicompost because there's a lot of hormones in it, it might be detrimental to plant growth. So we've seen that happen. Yes, this is just stagnant, non-circulating.
Won't that adding the vermicompost greatly increase the cost? Is it the crafty method, like pennies per plant in terms of the cost? And this seems like, with all this analysis, isn't it just increasing the cost tremendously?
In this experiment, we will recommend half of the nutrient solutions. Okay, that already.
Nutrient solutions are pennies, aren't they?
A little bit, yeah. We have not conducted the cost benefit analysis, but half of the recommend. And then you also use very small amount of vermicompost, 0.120. How much was it? 0.28%, which is like a cup full of vermicompost in a 90 gallon tank. So that's very little, actually. Yeah.
I'm just grown organically. Aren't they going to be, the growers going to be restricted with using the nutrient solutions? Would you think the vermicompost or compost tea would by itself provide enough nutrients for the crop to grow organically?
Well, this is not completely organic because you're still using 50% of the nutrient solution.
I'm saying if, like in the scenario of someone doesn't want to use any of those Miracle-Gro or any kind of ready nutrient solutions, do you think that vermicompost tea would provide it?
No, because it has very little nutrition in it. Yeah, because we tried that and plants didn't survive after 3 weeks with just the tea. So it has to have that nutrient solution still.
Thank you.
Thank you.